microphone's working all right. That's okay. Good. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you on a glorious day. It would still be lovely to see you if it was a really wet day, but it's lovely to see you on a glorious sunny day. My name's Stephen. I'm the minister here. It's a privilege to lead this service today with David Butler, who's going to be bringing God's word to us later on the theme of being ready. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us here. You want us here to meet with you, to see you, to hear you, to know your love. You want us to worship you because this is what we were created for, to see you as you are. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us together and individually, that we may worship you with all our heart. Amen. Amen. Right, as usual, proof that we are alive, we have notices. And firstly, a big thank you to all those who've been praying and blessing the Alpha course. We had our last meeting of this course last night, and we had the chocolate cake that isn't. You can talk to Leslie about that. And most of the sandwiches went, because everybody's really hungry for Leslie's lovely food. And but more than that, people have met with God, have been fed by God, and are going on with God. And it's a wonderful thing. Do talk to the people on the course. I can see them here, Suzanne and Andrew and Ollie and Liz and Dee and who else? Dawn. Yeah, so they're almost all here. So the good opportunity today to find out what the Alpha course has been about. Do speak to them. Thank you also for everybody praying and working to make Message Church happen and go so well. Particular thank you to Rowena, who prepared wonderful crafts, and for all of us having fun doing them with the twiddly bits and the tricky bits and the fun bits. And thanks for all the backup, the practical work, Andrew Setti up and everybody else. And I know David would want me to say a big thank you to everybody who participated, particularly those who are praying. The children had a wonderful time. I'm told that Lexi was spark out for a couple of hours in the afternoon after the morning, because it was just such fun. And we had lots of children, and some of them are here. Hi, Eric. Good to see you. Yeah, excellent. He's come back for more, which is great. Today, we have Hungry Hearts. And if you'd like to eat your Sunday lunch with someone else rather than on your own, then do stay. It's a bring and share lunch, but we know that obviously some may decide at the spur of the moment to come today and you haven't brought anything. That doesn't matter, because there is always food and drink for people, even if you haven't brought anything. It's a great time, increasing numbers of people coming together once a month, the last Sunday of the month, just to have just fun together. It's a good time. And that starts after coffees and teas, which follow the service. Lunch sort of starts around about 12:30 time. So do come if you can. The minutes from the church meeting we had recently for church members. If you're not on email and you have a hard copy, they're on the table outside. Do take them with you And there's a few envelopes still left in the pigeonholes if you've not collected them yet. In our prayer time before the service, we sang this wonderful chorus, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living, just because he lives." That's what God has led us to this Easter. What did we put on the front of our Easter leaflet? We really didn't know. And then God brought us to put this. Because he lives. You've all got one. And there's plenty out there. So the idea is you've got one, but you don't keep it. Please don't keep it. Unless you're not a member of the church and you want to keep it, by all means, then keep it and keep it as a memento. But give it away. And more importantly, take lots more and give them away. Because as we hear today, as we hear the message next week and the week after, there's so many around us who have no idea who Jesus is and that he lives. And they struggle to live a life worth living because they don't know he lives. And they have a fear of the future because they don't know he lives. They have no idea there is somebody who holds the future. So I'm going to, you know, I put them through our neighbours' letterboxes and just pray that they'll look at them. And the thing is, different things to try and talk to somebody. They can't, you know, they can't bat away a leaflet. If it goes through the letterbox, just put it through the letterbox. They'll pick it and they'll read. What's that about? So do it. Go for it. Jesus died. We have the cross that reminds us. But he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he is praying for us now. It's a lovely thought. As I'm looking around you all this morning, he is praying for each one of you. And Jesus has made it very clear that he's coming back. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." To the very end of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Jesus doesn't want us to fear his return, but to look forward to it, to be ready for him to come. And our theme today at the service that God has laid this message on David's heart is that we should be ready. So let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts today, that we would be ready for your return and looking forward to your return and looking forward to heaven. Help us to realize that we have, because you live, eternal life that starts now and goes on forever with you. Thank you, Lord, for your assurance, your word that tells us these things are true. That you testify to these things, saying, "Yes, I am coming soon." There's really only one song that you can sing after that, which is "Soon and Very Soon." We have instruments and banners. We have songs, some songs which are instrument and banner songs. So make the most of them. We have others, more reflective songs. Feel free to stand in worship or to sit in worship. But let's enjoy God's presence as we worship.
Very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going.
And it's not just a tuneful song. It's not just a happy song. It's a truth. It's a truth. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come, before the sun will stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promise, grace, salvation comes. This is the Christian hope. Join in singing a song that has been sung for hundreds of years, thousands of years of praising our God. We're reminded this morning before the service and our prayer time that each generation in turn needs to sing God's praise. And we have a song now to help us praise God, which was written by Charles Wesley in the 1700s. But the words are just as relevant today because you are still, Lord Jesus, in glory and coming back for us. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Mm-hmm. You are the glorious Lord. We wait with expectation for that day when every eye will see you and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Every knee will bow. And Lord, our prayer is for those who do not yet know you. Whether it's in this building here, whether it's in this country, or whether it's in countries far across the world. Lord, we know there will come a time when people will see that it is true. You were pierced. You were crucified. But you rose from the dead. And you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. May we testify to the truth in our worship and our lives. But we pray for those who do not yet know the truth. As we are gathered together today, we're asked to pray for kings and all those in authority. We're to pray for things on a global scale. And let's pray now for all Muslims who are celebrating Ramadan. We know that in this time of fasting and praying, you break into their lives. Many have seen visions of Jesus, who they've heard about, they've read about in their holy books. But they don't know yet. So Lord, we pray for Muslims in this country and every country that the one Creator God that they believe in, they will realize has become flesh in Jesus. That Jesus, you are the one that they have been seeking out to. Amen. Lord, we pray for those who are in our streets, in our blocks of flats, in our family, in our workplaces. Help us to give an account for the hope that we have, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone or is on its way out. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth living. Lord, loosen our tongues to speak graciously in the power of your Holy Spirit about the hope that Jesus has given us because he is alive. Amen. Amen. We take up an offering each Sunday, and the aim is not that we're trying to impress God. We're not trying to buy his favor. We're cheerfully giving to the work of his kingdom, that others will know what we've just been praying, that they'll know Jesus, and he holds the future and he holds their future. So if you've come prepared to give today, that's great. If not, just as the bag comes round, pass it by, and we'll bring our offering together. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your wonderful gifts to us. So many we haven't got enough time to list them all. We thank you for your wonderful gifts. And we give you some of them back, that others might know your love. Multiply them, we pray. Bless them. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Josie's going to bring our Bible reading for us. And children, and adults as well, but particularly children, I want you to listen particularly to the last bit. Of course, you won't know what the last bit is until it comes, so that's not really helpful, is it? But listen to the last bit. Listen right to the end, because there's something at the end that's going to be particularly relevant to our children.
So we're in Matthew 24, and beginning to read at verse 36. The day and hour unknown. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had not known at what time of day or night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because of the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. When this then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in the household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you. That last bit of the reading, I've not really noticed before. It says, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It'll be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." So the Lord has given a job for us to do. The master has put us in charge of serving food at the proper time. So, the activity I'd like our children to do, if you want to, and I have some different things going on here, is I'd like you to draw or write down the biggest feast that you can imagine with lots of food on it, and it's all laid out on a table, and put yourself in there somewhere. You can put other people in there as well, other people here or other family members. But I'd like you to put yourself serving others that wonderful food. So I've got here, we've got some cards, okay? You could do the drawings on if you'd like to do that. There's lots of pens and so on here. But I also have, for the younger ones, something you might want to have fun. I'm going to bring it up to the back there. The most favourite toy at toddlers is this. Because everybody gets a cup of tea at toddlers. I have to drink several cups of tea most weeks. Because people love making feasts and cups of tea. So, we have party time, alright? So you've got plenty of room here. So if you want to create a big table to feed lots of people, then make yourself use of these. You've even got some cakes. So those people who are gathered around this particular thing may not hear every word of David's sermon, but that's for your fault because you chose to be here. Okay. So have fun. And if you want to do drawings as well as tea sets, they're all here. That would be great. And adults, if you think you'd like to doodle while David's preaching, then please do. Dave, do you want to come up and we'll pray? Some people doodling helps them concentrate. I could see David looking aghast there. How dare anybody doodle during my sermon? Yeah, no, this is the uniform. Anybody else with a purple cup? Father, we thank you for your word that is alive when you breathe it out. And we pray that your word would breathe into David and through him to us, that we might hear you speaking to us today. And yeah, bless our children as they create tables full of food to remind us of what you're saying. Amen.
Amen.
Okie doke, over to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I've just about got my breath back after singing those wonderful worship songs just now, containing such great truths and marvellous promises. I'm so glad I came. It's so wonderful to hear you all singing God's praises. In recent times, Stephen and those of us privileged to join him on the preaching team have been all the way through Mark's Gospel, and many of you have shared that journey with us. This has meant that although Easter is almost upon us now, we have already celebrated Jesus' glorious resurrection this year when David Burroughs preached so effectively on Mark's account of it in chapter 16 of his gospel. Now we are in Lent and heading towards Palm Sunday next week, when we shall think about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and all the people throwing their cloaks on the floor and palm leaves and shouting, Hosanna. Then we shall be into Maundy Thursday again, a more somber sort of day, when we remember the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples and Judas, who went out of the room in order to go and betray our Lord, and the unfair trial and everything that happened after that. We shall move on to the awfulness of Good Friday, which David Redaway spoke about a few weeks ago in such graphic terms. But then on Easter Sunday, we shall once more rejoice in Jesus' victory over death, which is confirmation that everything he said and taught during his earthly ministry is true. If the resurrection is right, if that happened, if Jesus rose from the dead, that's the most wonderful truth of all, then everything else he said is true as well. And a great truth which Jesus taught is that he, although having ascended to heaven to be with his Father, will return. Jesus will return. We've thought about it this morning already. He's going to come back one day. You might be here to witness it. It has great significance for all of us, whether or not we are believers. In Matthew's Gospel, chapters 24 and 25, we read that Jesus taught his followers, his disciples, as he sat down with them on the Mount of Olives. He spoke to them about the need for readiness. And in our passage today, which Joseph read, in 24, verse 42, Jesus says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. And in verse 44 he said, so you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. You see, rejoicing is not enough. Christians are not just to praise God for making our salvation possible through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross to deal with our sins, thus reconciling us to God. It's wonderful that through our repentance and because of what our Lord did for us, we can be cleansed of our sins and look forward to being with God and with Jesus in heaven. But Jesus does not want us to just sit on our hands and wait for that to happen. No. He wants us to be watchful. He wants us to be ready and to be found employed in his service when he returns. The Apostle Paul, writing his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, berates some of its members who had taken the view that because Christ would soon return, they could give up their jobs and just sit and wait for it to happen. and expect others to provide for their needs. More about that later. Well, following time on the tradition, I have three headings to help me illustrate this morning's theme of readiness and to help us think about Jesus' return. These headings, they are not original. I don't claim to have made them up, but I hope you will find them helpful. These three headings are a secret day, a surprising day, and a separating day. So first of all, a secret day. None of us knows when Jesus will return. Even Jesus said he didn't know. Today's reading began with the words, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father." These are Jesus' words. So all conjecture about when that day is going to be is a complete waste of time. Although there's been plenty of it, hasn't there? But there's no room for being complacent. No room to put off the holiness and the obedience that God calls us to. Because that day is secret. We cannot know when Jesus is coming back. I can remember in my late teens being aware of the Christian faith, but saying to myself, well, there's plenty of time for me to think about that when I'm older. I can see some people nodding. Thankfully, I changed my mind. I changed my mind soon after that and gave my heart to the Lord. I think I was 21 when Josie and I were baptized. I think that's right. A few days ago, isn't it? No one knows when Jesus will return. But why is it, I ask myself, that Jesus himself didn't know? Because his Father had not told him. And Jesus didn't need to know when Judgment Day would come, because he could trust his Father to decide when that day was to happen. So Jesus told his disciples, and through them he tells all of us, to be ready for that day, because it is a secret day. But then, he says, it will be a surprising day. Jesus goes on to compare his coming back with what happened when the great flood came in Noah's day. Jesus says in verse 36 to 39, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, right up to the day when Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man," says Jesus. People were just living their lives just like people are today. There was nothing to indicate that anything awful was about to happen. Nothing, that is, apart from the fact that Noah had been warning the people all the time he was building the ark. which procedure people were no doubt making fun of over the years. But God had decided to get rid of all the people on earth and the living creatures because of people's wickedness. Only Noah and his family and the animals God instructed him to take onto the ark were to be saved. In Peter's second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5, the apostle calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, which indicates that he had been proclaiming God's righteousness and the coming judgment for the whole time he had been building the ark. But people took no notice. And so when the flood came, they were unprepared and were swept away by the destruction it caused. Doesn't it all remind us of how things are around us today? It's imperative that people today are told the truth, that we preach the gospel in word and action, that we encourage as many people as we possibly can by telling them the good news about Jesus and explaining how much God loves them, by sharing with them about the release that comes when they repent and receive the salvation which is offered to them. You know, if we don't tell them, who will? As for you and me, well, it's very easy to get caught up in the ways of the world, isn't it? To keep worship for Sundays and forget how much the way we live our lives every day of the week really matters. Our final heading is a separating day. Jesus says in verse 44 of our text, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. These are the illustrations Jesus used. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And Jesus says that when he returns to judge the earth, he will once and for all separate his people from the wicked. And he will gather his people out of this sorry and broken world once and for all and draw them to himself. It doesn't matter where they are, Jesus will find them and gather them in. In John 14 verse 3, he says those famous words, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, you may be also. And they will escape the judgment that is coming on that day. But the others will not be separated from the judgment on that day. So what can we say in conclusion? If you have not decided to be a follower of Jesus yet, don't delay. Please don't delay. Speak to Stephen, speak to Debbie, speak to a deacon, speak to a Christian that you trust. And if you've got questions or reservations about it, come and ask. and then repent and be baptized. It's important. The days could be short. And for the rest of us, we need to understand what being ready means. We could do worse than read what Paul says in his two letters to Thessalonica, and I recommend you find time to do that. Get to work. Be about your Father's business. Witness to other people. Love God's word. Really want it. Live holy and sacrificial lives, filled with the Holy Spirit. Go and show Christ's love to other people. And go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe to all that Jesus has commanded us. Make it your aim that when your master comes, you will be found about his business. Don't let the coming of that day take you by surprise. And when we come again to Easter Day, that highlight of the Christian calendar, let joy abound. Let's celebrate again Jesus' glorious resurrection, through which, if we are his, we are assured of eternal life. And as we live in that hope, let's be determined to be found engaged in our Lord's service when he comes, or right up to the end of our earthly life. Amen.
Let's just take a moment now to respond to what David has spoken to us, and which God has spoken to us. If you know that at this moment your sins are not forgiven, that you are separated from God, that you have not given your life to him and received his new life, there is an opportunity now to do just that. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you want to echo that prayer in your heart, then do so. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross, to take away my sin, to take away everything that separates me from you. I am sorry for what I have done wrong, what I have said, what I haven't done. I'm sorry for ignoring you, of looking the other way, of closing my ears to your voice. Forgive me. Help me. Give me the gift of faith. Give me the gift of your Holy Spirit, that I might serve you and worship you. Give me eternal life, that I may be with you forever and look forward to your return. Amen. And for us who've been blessed by faith, forgiveness, freedom, new life, what are we going to do while we wait for Jesus to return? Lord, I pray you'd speak to my brothers and sisters now. Tell them what you want from them, what you have for them. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared good works for us to walk in. Thank you that you've chosen us to bear fruit, much fruit, to the Father's glory. Lord, we're sorry where we have been dithering, where we have been self-centered, where you have not been on the throne, where you have not been our central passion. Lord, we pray, renew us, fill us again with your Holy Spirit, that we might serve you and love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. Amen. Right, I said we wanted to see some pictures and some tea service. Just that idea that when Jesus comes back, he's going to be saying, look, there you are. You are feeding other people. Oh, look at this. Wow. Good job. Don't pack it away, will you? Because other people will want to see this. Oh, thank you. This is Lani. You can turn around. This is Lani's table. What are you feeding? What are you feeding your people?
Roast dinner.
Roast dinner. Oh, perfect choice. I know. Who likes roast dinner? Yes, you see, brilliant. You like roast dinner. That's why it's on there. Fantastic. Thank you very much. So when the master comes back, will he find you serving roast dinners? He'll find Leslie, my good lady, serving roast dinners. Leslie's been serving smoked salmon and cream tea sandwiches and chocolate cake that isn't chocolate cake and everything else. And people have been blessed. Who's blessed when they are given a meal by somebody? Yes, exactly. And let's see what else we've got. Can I hold yours up, Liz? Oh, no, it's not embarrassing at all. Oh, this is gorgeous. This is why you have children and adults do pictures. This is serving the Lord. And I can see, tell us what's on it.
Grapes, raspberries, strawberries, sandwiches, crisps, sponge cakes with a cherry on top and chocolate biscuits.
I'm coming round yours for tea. Perfect. This is what the Lord wants us to do. Our president, the president of the Baptist Union this year, her theme is what? Building a bigger table. To invite people you don't normally invite. That's what he wants to do. That's what Renew on Monday, Hungry Hearts Today, Friday Coffee Morning, Wednesday Toddler Cafe. That's what those events are about. Messy Church on Saturday, the praying that happens on Tuesday and Thursday, that those events will work, is that people will be well fed. And is it just food? No, it's spiritual food. And that's what we're coming to now. We're coming to communion. We're coming to a meal when we will feed. We'll put these here, and any other pictures that I've not seen yet, they could go here. We come now to a meal, a special meal that is feeding on Jesus. And so we are feeding by preaching, by giving you these leaflets to give to other people. We're reflecting, we're thinking, and now we have this opportunity to feed, as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, and to eat this meal. To lead us into this meal, we're going to have a song, which is, we come as guests invited. When Jesus bids us dine, his friends on earth united to share the bread and wine. The bread of life is broken, the wine is freely poured for us in solemn token of Christ our dying Lord. We eat and drink, receiving from Christ the grace we need. And in our hearts believing on him, by faith, we feed. With wonder and thanksgiving for love that knows no end, we find in Jesus living our ever-present friend. One bread is ours for sharing, one single fruitful vine, our fellowship declaring renewed in bread and wine. Renewed, sustained, and given by token, sign, and word, the pledge and seal of heaven, the love of Christ our Lord. What a glorious song when you read the words out. And now we get to sing them as well. Serving communion, please join me. Thank you. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink." We're invited to eat this meal, and it's ordinary bread, and it's ordinary non-alcoholic wine. But they are symbols, tokens, that Jesus himself chose to remind us that he's given us his body, the bread, poured out his blood, the wine. There may be some here today who've never taken part in this meal before, never had the bread and the wine before. If you believe in Jesus, you want to thank him for what he's done for you, and you want to remember his death and his life, then you are welcome to share this meal. For children, if they know what they're doing, and parents, it's your call on this one, if they know what they're doing, then they're very welcome to eat and drink. And the same applies to us as adults. If we are thankful and remembering, we can share in this meal. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you want to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the church in Corinth how Jesus started this meal. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them all, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Joan's going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
It says in one of our choruses that we'll never know how much it cost to see our sin upon that cross. And as we come, Father, now to share in this meal with you, the bread and the wine, your body broken for us and your blood shed for our sin, Lord, can we truly comprehend what you suffered upon the cross for us? But Lord God, we come now with profound thankfulness as we share in this meal, and we look forward to the time when you come again, Lord, where we share it again with you afresh. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, if you'd like to come forward, Janine and Joan. Janine and Joan will bring these trays around for you. If you'd like to take the cups and hold them. As the bread comes, I'm just going to say a few words about them. They'll come to you. Receive and eat the bread as it comes. We hold on to the cups so we can drink together, remembering our unity, our oneness in Jesus. So Jesus said, "This is my body. Take it in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And so we drink this and we remember that Christ's blood was shed for all of us. And we're thankful. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. It's a wonderful thing that we can celebrate Jesus coming again and glory in heaven. And our last song, which is completely new to me and maybe new to some, is a great song. I'm so looking forward to worshiping through this song. It talks about just the wonder and of Jesus coming, and actually what our focus will be when he does, when the Lord in glory comes. The Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Amen.